Chicago weather that we ran into was, you know, snow on the weekend we were here. We were hoping and expecting that by the, you know, by today, tomorrow, it was going to be blown over. We're heading to New York and driving out to Long Island.
Yep, weather could play a big factor in travel plans for many. A lot of people will be traveling on Wednesday. It's the second biggest travel day in the year. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Happy Thanksgiving week to all of you. If you are traveling, for goodness sake, take your time. Be careful. It's not a lecture, but it's what I see. People going crazy thinking that they're going to cut in front of the line that suddenly is super backed up, and before you know it, you're in a fender bender. Then you're not going anywhere. Then it's going to take more time, so you don't want to be that person. And speaking of driving, and driving in weather, and doing the things that cause accidents, right at the top, let me ask you this question. Do you think you should be pulled over and ticketed if you're in a car and you're eating a hamburger? Do you think that's fair? Is that distracting? In New Jersey, my home state, they're talking about doing that. Yeah, they're talking about actually pulling people over for eating or smoking in a car because it is a distraction and can be deadly. Now, I agree that someone could get distracted and it might be deadly, but you cannot regulate human behavior. It's the same as somebody just turning the knob on the radio or leaning over for a quick second, looking at the person to the right of them if they have a passenger in the front seat. So as much as I can't stand the whole cell phone thing, I swear every day of my life I see people texting and not even looking, just looking down and texting in a car as they drift into another lane. But I think banning eating and smoking while driving, I mean, that's a little excessive. You think? You think it's a little excessive? I'm going to say, yeah. You know, if people do something stupid and it causes an accident, it's regrettable. But what about someone changing a CD? What about someone looking at a map? What about all of that? Where do you draw the line? It's a proposed law, so it's not in effect yet. But the bill has been advanced, and it just sailed through 12-zip this past Monday in the Transportation Committee. And then I guess they'd have to spell out what things in the car would be considered distracted driving. Or would they leave that up to the police, which would be deadly? They have to interpret the law. Oh, can you imagine the suits? Courts would be jammed up with it. I had a McDonald's hamburger in my hand. I hadn't eaten in 15 hours, and I was driving through New Jersey. The traffic was slow. I took a bite. I don't know. I'm just saying. Just saying. The cell phone thing, I'm totally on board with, and I know a lot of people aren't on board with that. But the thing with the hamburgers, no. More importantly, what could really slow down traveling, forget the distractions, the weather would be the biggest distraction. They have a nor'easter that looks like it's going to hit the East Coast. It's going to be a mess in New York and New Jersey and Philadelphia and New England and think of any of the states along the whole Atlantic border. The Wednesday before Thanksgiving, as I said, is the second busiest day, and they could be chaotic for people on flights. There could be serious chaos because of the snow that's being predicted, the heavy rain. If that hits New York and it hits Boston and it hits Portland, Maine, and then high winds, they're saying, that's going to add to the flight problems because when you have high winds, a lot of times the planes are grounded. And, of course, for anybody on the ground, power outages, trees flying down, that's always something to worry about. They're talking about snow in Virginia and Pennsylvania and parts of New York and Buffalo. They're used to this, but they already have 8 inches of snow. And so it's already begun there. Maryland, you know, pick a place. Freezing rain mixed with snow is a possibility, too. In the south, same thing. They're talking about a lot of travel delays, heavy, heavy rain, and the winds. In fact, with the winds, you know, I love the whole Macy's Day Parade thing. I know. I love sitting there for at least for a little while with a cup of coffee and watching the balloons, watching a little bit of that parade. And they have a crazy amount of balloons. I talked about this before, like 50, and they're giant. They're the size of a big chunk of the buildings, you know, the buildings that they go by. They're talking about maybe grounding the balloons for that parade, and that's their big signature deal. They might get big acts and all that. 50 million people watch the parade, and there's 2 to 3 million people on the ground. But if you've got wind gusts of 36 miles an hour, you can't do that. Are you kidding? The chance that the balloons could take off, and the problems with the spectators, they've had serious accidents before when they've had high winds, so they won't do it. If there's any chance that you're going to have winds that are 23, 24, 34 miles an hour, remember there, it was in 97 when a spectator was injured because of a balloon and people that were holding the balloon smashing into them. So there's a great chance that the 87th Macy's Day, Thanksgiving Day Parade might not have balloons in it. It'll have all the other things, I suppose, the floats and the singers and everything else. But it just shows you how the weather can really mess up travel plans and SpongeBob SquarePants, his move down the canyons in Manhattan. Kids love those balloons, they do. But it's not looking like that's going to happen. All right, here's another bah humbug, which I'm going to mention in the beginning because we're talking about the weather and people trying to get where they're getting because of the warnings and the watches. And I think with the planes, you definitely have to call ahead. You should always do that anyway, but you have to definitely call ahead this time around because you might have delays. You know, that's that idea where you get to the gate and then the plane is coming from somewhere else and you have to see where that is and if they got held up. But we have to start the holiday season with at least one of these, right? Jacksonville, Wyoming, somebody sent me a link to this, that they have a new limit for holiday displays on their town square. 14-day limit. That means nativity scenes, menorahs, Santa kind of things, anything that the crowds would see. They're only having displays on one side of the town square, and they can only be up for 14 days because they don't want to insult somebody because of, you know, their religion. They're back to the religion thing again and what people believe in and how it could be offensive. And, boy, geez. Can't we always find something when it comes to the holidays to offend somebody by? I mean, they're having menorahs, they're having Santa things, can't they just leave them up through the holidays and then take them down afterwards? I mean, pretty soon, you're going to have to be really hard-pressed to find nativity scenes, I guess, outside of the front of a church. Mm-mm-mm. All right, we're talking biggest turkeys in 2013 on the flip side.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or at worst depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Are you frustrated with your current job? Not making the type of money that you know you are worth? Is it time for a change? Maybe it's time you considered starting your own home-based business. Autopilot Marketing has helped thousands of people just like you get started working from home. Whether it's an extra $250 to $500 per month part-time or a six-figure full-time income, anything is possible. You don't need any special skills or experience. Anyone can succeed with Autopilot Marketing. Take our free video tour and find out if this opportunity is right for you. Go to income16.com now. That's income, the number 16.com. Take our free video tour today and start earning money as early as next week. Go to income16.com. That's income, the number 16.com.
You can send them to me, americatonight.net, or ring up these digits, 855-266-5283. Also, piggybacking on New Jersey, thinking about a law that would give police the ability to ticket people for distracted driving, doing all sorts of things. In other words, they want to ban, specifically eating in the car would be one thing. And then there'd be a list of other possible things that would be on it as well. And I think that'd be really, really tough. Think of the drive-thrus. Someone's going to work. They drive through McDonald's, grab a cup of coffee, and whatever else it is. An Egg McMuffin, burrito, whatever it is that's on the menu. And they're eating it. They're at stoplights or where they're wherever, or they're pulled over. I don't know. Or hamburgers. You would think hamburgers would be the number one thing. Someone's a salesperson. They're going from place to place. They haven't eaten all day long. They're hypoglycemic. They're freaking out. They need food. But let's face it, drive-thrus were made for that. Drive-thrus aren't made for people driving through and, oh, I'm taking this food home. Maybe in some cases, but I think 9 times out of 10, really, especially during the day, somebody is starving Marvin. They're hightailing it to the drive-through, even if they're on some strict diet, because now they've lost it. They're, you know, when people get nasty when they haven't eaten for however long, and they're just grabbing something quick to eat. So that'd be tough to put on the cops. I mean, this would be in the courts all the time. In fact, my favorite Jersey cop says things that are distracted to the driver: radio, heater, GPS system, changing gears on a stick shift, eating, drinking, kids in the car, so many things. That's true. You have kids that are two little boys in the back. They're you know, teasing each other, whatever, that's a distraction. Somebody starts to cry, something happens. I mean, there are so many things that are distractions in the car that I think that would be pretty darn tough to interpret that and pull someone over. The cell phone thing, different if they have a cell phone law, but if you're talking about a whole list of things and trying to navigate that, I think it'd be hard to navigate, frankly. I said this earlier, but you might not have heard it on the show. One of my turkeys is a layup, a cabinet member, Kathleen Sebelius. She blew it with the rollout of Obamacare. And if affordable care is what everybody wants and what everybody was promised, then gosh darn, can't the website be correct? Healthcare.gov. It's easy to beat up on the website now because that was rolled out on October 1st. But I still think it comes back to the cabinet member, Kathleen Sebelius, because she let that rollout happen without taking control. Of course, she's not in the middle of doing the code for the website and creating the website, but she certainly was informed about it. And if she wasn't, she should have demanded that she was constantly given updates, because that rollout was just too big. And even if she's all the way at the top of the chain, whoever she delegated it to, she still should have been on top of that. So to me, she makes the list as one of the biggest turkeys, because she blew what was the signature piece of legislation for the president, who she works for at the pleasure of the president, and for the Democrats, right? She blew it for the Democrats. So Kathleen Sebelius, talking about the website, talked about how difficult it is and how it's going to be much different. It's going to be all fixed up, so don't worry about it. It's not so easy. You just can't flip on a switch just like that. Here's Sebelius talking about it.
We are definitely on track to have a significantly different user experience by the end of this month. That was our commitment than people experienced on October 1st. We've added hardware, we've added software, we're continuing to work on the parts of the website that were too confusing to people. This isn't a magic turn on the on switch. The experience is vastly improved each and every day.
All right, so it's vastly improved, which it has to be, that you know that I'm sure coming out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, anyone close to the president, they're like dragons. They're breathing fire because they realize what this has done and how much this has damaged the Democrats. Somebody else I would put on the list would be partially kind of split, the president and Secretary of State John Kerry, because they messed up with this Geneva agreement with Iran. And how they messed up is that this interim deal, one of the things it didn't include was, why didn't they ask the Iranian government to return Robert Levinson, who was a retired FBI agent who went missing in Iran 6 years ago? And on top of that, besides Levinson, how about the pastor, also stuck in Iran, sentenced to 8 years? I think both of them should have been on the list, because I believe that Iran, with the sanctions that were crippling Tehran, I really believe they would have given them both over. I do. I think they would have given them both over, unless there's something. In the case of the pastor, we know he's alive, so that could have happened. But this new moderate, supposedly President Rouhani, he would have the power to have done that. The former FBI guy, I don't know, because he disappeared. So the government is saying that they're not holding him. They don't know where he is. But then they heard, when Ahmadinejad a couple of years ago was still president, that he was willing to help find them. And the then Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, said there was some proof of life. But there's this uncertainty about his whereabouts. So regardless, I would have put that on the table. And they're turkeys for not doing that, because I think they would have, I think Rouhani would have agreed to that easily. It was something that was already being discussed, especially with the pastor. So why not? Why not, you know, why not throw that in there? I would have put it on the list. Hey, coming up on this hour of America tonight, a conversation with Andrew Szabo, Peel Back the Onion. We're talking about Iran, the situation in Iran, and the interim deal. And besides that deal and what could have, what definitely was, I think, some misses in that, and I just mentioned two of them to you. We also, as we move along here on the show, have in our next hour a special Thanksgiving edition of Nail the Score. I assume some people are on trains, planes, automobiles, and on autopilot because they're shutting down and just trying to pack up and leave. They actually have a couple of days off. So just in the case that we would have people around, I thought, how can we skip another week in the NFL? We can't skip a week in the NFL. So for the last two segments in the third hour, we will do Nail the Score just a day early, since I think there's a better chance of catching more people. And you can email us, americatonight.net, or call us once the computer has randomly picked. Game of the week, then you'll be able to throw in on that too. Also, coming up in this hour, Clint Hackney joins us. He's an American political history expert, and he talks about, he's an interesting cat, real Texan, talks about the political origins of Thanksgiving and how it was really started. And Sarah Hale, anybody know Sarah Hale? Mary Had a Little Lamb, perhaps, that she's the one who came up with that. She's the one who wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb. Anyway, she pushed five presidents to actually have Thanksgiving, to declare it a holiday. And what happened? The rest is history. When did Thanksgiving officially become Thanksgiving? You might be surprised. You might not even know the answer to that question, even if you think you know the answer to the question. You know, when you're a kid, it's always about Plymouth, Massachusetts, and the Pilgrims, and the Indians, and celebrating. So in your head, that's what you're thinking about. You're thinking about that as Thanksgiving. But truly, what is Thanksgiving in the United States? When did it become the day that many people had off, and the day that you spent it with your families? And when did it become that biggest travel day, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and then the second biggest travel day, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving? Obviously important to a lot of people. All right, stay with us. Coming up next, Andrew Szabo.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is going to get worse. Much worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. And if you owe the IRS back payroll taxes, chances are you will be visited at your home or business by an IRS agent. Don't become paralyzed by fear. Take action now. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help. Our team of experienced tax attorneys can get you protected, stop collections, and negotiate a permanent settlement with the IRS and state, potentially saving you thousands of dollars. At U.S. Tax Shield, our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. No games and no tricky upsells. That's why we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Put an end to your torment. Get protected. Get the Shield. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-211-9458. That's 800-211-9458. 800-211-9458.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
With Andrew Szabo. He is a marketing chef, a professional speaker, and a positioning, branding, and messaging strategist. Andrew, big deal, obviously, with Iran and the bargain that was struck in Geneva. A lot of people are pulling this apart and saying, wow, there are a lot of holes in this whole thing, trying to shut down nuclear ambitions with the new president and the country of Iran, because there's some things that were missed in this, including immediately stopping the sanctions that were obviously working. What's your take on it?
Well, I think this is Thanksgiving. This is certainly a turkey of a deal. We've talked about how in the past few months that our diplomatic policy, our foreign policy of appeasement has not worked. And I even talked about sometimes it looks like Chamberlain in Munich. And this is now just the turkey deal of them all, because there's nothing in this deal that is, when you say that you would use the word bargain, it's a bargain deal, all right, for Iran, because there's nothing there to hold them to the deal. We're talking about the Secretary of State saying we're going to get, what do we get out of the deal? The destruction of 20% uranium. By destruction, what they're actually going to do is take that 20% enriched uranium that's going to be turned into an oxide, so it's inoperative. That process is completely chemically reversible, which means Iran holds on to its 20% uranium and can turn it back into active stuff anytime it wants. I mean, even when you look at, and this deal is actually worse than Munich, what happened with Chamberlain, because Britain and France's capitulation to Nazi Germany in 1938, you know, has long been a byword for, you know, moral and diplomatic foolishness. But there was actually one good thing about it, because the reality is the Allies were not ready to fight the Nazis at that time in September of 1938. So they had a year basically ended up buying time to rearming. One year they bought time to rearm, so in 1939 they could go to war. In 2013, basically Obama gives Iran the time to go nuclear. So that's a bargain deal for Iran. I've also been reading today that those people involved in the Iranian hostage crisis back in 1998 say this is just foolishness. You can't trust the Iranians. Why would we trust them to do this? There's no deal here. It's the turkey of a deal. It's Thanksgiving, and this turkey needs to have its throat cut.
I agree. And here's the other thing. There were one of the big things I said, there's a lot of holes it would take us, and I've been doing it now for the past, couple of shows, but even before that, because we've talked about Iran a lot on America Tonight and had all kinds of people on the show to talk about it. Andrew, experts who live there and whatnot, and nuclear scientists even talking about developing a nuclear weapon and whatnot. But one of the things that was missed is the fact that there's a pastor who's in prison over there, wrongfully, and there's also an ex-FBI agent who's a businessman who is also in that same situation, and none of this was thrown out. Just immediately give the sanctions back. Okay, we lift the sanctions. You get all the access to the money that was frozen in the banks, the oil money and everything else. But yet nothing was done, even though Obama just weeks ago was fighting for this pastor, trying to get that put on the table. And then how come they walk away and they didn't make this as part of it?
Again, it shows the ineptitude of our diplomatic policy, that we don't even ask a simple thing like that. I think the Iranians were being quite happy to throw that into the mix. They were getting the better end of the deal by far, and they're getting a lot. We're getting basically nothing. The very least we could have asked for is for the release of the pastor. I totally agree with the UK. And here's another thing that I think is just really starting to emerge. Is another, just to say how much of a turkey of a deal this is the Saudis are actually pretty ticked off. They claim they were kept in the dark by the Western allies over this Iranian nuclear deal, and now saying they're going to strike out on their own because that could, allowing the Iranians, I mean, the reality was, the other Middle Eastern powers there essentially using the West to some degree to play the bad guys. Well, now I understand a senior advisor to the Saudi royal family accused the Western allies deceiving the kingdom in striking that nuclear accord without the Saudis really knowing about it. So now they're going to pursue a more independent foreign policy. So one of our biggest allies there is all of a sudden very ticked off at us. So, and that again, the attempt of appeasement. And I think this is also just partly just a deal so we can distract ourselves from what the domestic issues of Obamacare. That's also what I think a lot of the press is now. Is this really a deal? And is this just simply smoke and mirrors to take our attention off of the another turkey of a fiasco of the administration. So, yeah, totally agree with you there.
It's interesting you say that about is a smoke and mirrors to deflect Obamacare, because here in America Tonight, the listeners are so focused on what's happening because they're calling us with their personal stories, and they're horrific about cancellations, tripling the policies. One woman called us from Michigan, and Andrew, she said, you know what, I don't have cable TV. I've gone without because I feel like it's my responsibility to cover my own insurance, and I didn't want to take anything from the government. And she said now, because of the Affordable Care Act, what's happened to her is her insurance went from, and she basically had catastrophic coverage, but that was okay because she watched what she ate and said she was pretty healthy, went from 150 to over 400 for the premiums because of the switch in the regulations. And she was upset, saying she doesn't, for the first time, she's considering that she has to take what she was calling kind of the handout and didn't want to do it. And that's the kind of things that we're hearing from people. So I think the biggest turkey of all has been the rollout of healthcare.gov and what it really contains and all the lingering issues surrounding it, both with the website, of course, and everything else.
Absolutely,
personally.
Yeah.
personally with everybody's insurance. And here's the question. So the question is, they say it's going to be, they're going to meet their self-imposed November 30th deadline, but yet it's still not the help, just the website itself. And you're a strategist, you're a marketing guy. It's still with the problem with the website that it still goes back to the website that they can't even get that right, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's again, it's what's the message you're sending? We're sending the message that we're inept at even putting up a website, to put this legislation in place. I mean, this is the backbone that's going to make this legislation work. Without the website, the legislation falls apart. And then people are now starting to read what that legislation says. And it was all in there in the first place. That they even predicted there was going to be several million. They were saying, I think, between 40 and 70% were going to lose their coverage. It was right there in the legislation. Mm. And now there's millions scrambling. And this is what we predicted 2 weeks ago. We said that those employee health care plans, they're going to stop canceling next year. And sure enough, there was the Manhattan Institute, American Enterprise Institute, said that about approximately 157 million employee health care policyholders are going to lose their insurance in 2014. That's going to dwarf the numbers that we're, that's almost double what we're seeing right now. So it's going to end up tripling. But you're going to have, that's 157 million plus the 80 million. Now you're looking at, 240 million people scrambling to get coverage to a website that's not working. I mean, it the whole thing is destined to collapse.
Yeah, I agree. We keep agreeing on everything, but it's obvious. And here's the thing too, what's happening and so sad is that families are really being hit by this because the family portion of an individual's insurance has skyrocketed. So even if the company says, okay, listen, we can keep insuring you under Obamacare, but now the family portion goes much higher, so then it becomes almost unaffordable anyway. And you're really stuck. What do? Yeah. You have to insure your family. You've got kids. What if something happens? What are you going to do? So people are stuck at this point. And I think this is maybe me taking it a step further, but I think the end game was to make this ultimately a single payer country. That's what I think that the end game is with this, because of all these problems and what's ultimately going to happen to the avalanche of people. It's not going to be sustainable. What do you think?
I think it's very possible. I think very early on that a number of people did feel that was really the strategy behind the legislation. So, in other words, that by creating an unsustainable, by creating legislation that was strategically unsustainable, would allow the government to step in and say, okay, fine, we're taking over and basically socializing whole system, because the insurance companies can't handle it. There's complete chaos in the marketplace. Any person, therefore, they will pay steel that can therefore control it is the government. And of course, by that time, we've now had 3 or 4 years of this. People forget, wait a minute, it was the government that created the problem in the first place. So you create the problem, and it's sort of like a simple sort of metaphor is. Like saying, well, yeah, let's dig a hole in the road, and now we have to come in and fill the council up. Your local town council now has to come in and fill that hole. Wait a minute, you created the hole in the first place. Okay, so you're creating the need by creating the chaos in the first place.
Yep, good analogy.
And a number of people felt that was the strategy all along, and I think it could very well play out like that.
Yeah, I agree. Happy Thanksgiving, Andrew Sabo, Peel Back the Onion.
Thank you.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
That's the sound of a .44 Magnum and Trauma Max, a high-tech hybrid Kevlar bulletproof vest from InfidelBodyArmor.com. We'll stop it and most pistol rounds. Trauma Max is a major breakthrough in pistol-rated body armor, and prices start at just $170 per insert. More protection, more stopping power, more mobility, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. Get details at InfidelBodyArmor.com. That's I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work to reduce the rate of premature birth. The numbers have gone down in the past 5 years, but still, nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
The week, it's really Thanksgiving week, and we have American political history expert Clint Hackney, TRN's Tales of American Political History. Really, really good stuff. You hear the program. And Clint, thanks for coming on with us. It is Thanksgiving week, as I said, and you know, when you're a kid, you hear about the pilgrims and the start of Thanksgiving, but really, when was the true Thanksgiving Day established? Was it George Washington, or was it the woman that everybody says begged Lincoln to do it?
Well, the first time that it was mentioned as a national holiday or a national day of Thanksgiving, that was George Washington, that didn't really go. It didn't last too long. It was regional. All he did was a presidential proclamation in his first year as president. And 1789. But later, I gotta say, the hero of today's Thanksgiving in America has got to be, Sarah Hale. I would call her the mother of Thanksgiving. And she's from New Hampshire. She was a novelist and a poet. Her best claim to fame was that she wrote the poem "Mary Had a Little Lamb," and we all knew that that rhyme when we were young children.
Mm-hmm.
But she was persistent. She spent 17 years trying to convince Congress and the executive branch that we should set aside a day of Thanksgiving in the autumn. You know, when she was trying to do this, which was a period from 1846 to 1860, we only had two national holidays in America. We had George Washington's birthday in February. We had Independence Day on July 4th. So we had a winter holiday. holiday and a summer holiday. And Sarah Hale, she wrote five different president's letters, the four before Lincoln. And she also organized a letter-writing campaign, a pretty good lobbying effort for the 1840s and 1850s. She organized a letter-writing campaign to congressmen, and it was Abe Lincoln that finally paid some attention to it. And his purpose was didn't really work out, but at least he got it started. His proclamation, he proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving. And he did it in the middle of the Civil War, 1863, and he invited the Confederacy to participate in, hey, you know, let's take a day off here and give thanks for what we have in the Confederacy and the Union. Well, the Confederacy, they didn't really pay attention to that. But that's really how it began, was with Lincoln's declaration of, for a national holiday.
When did it become that it just become that it just became Thanksgiving? That was it. You were, of course, now we could talk about what's the commercialization, and we will in a second. But really, if you go back to, as you were talking about her letter writing in the 40s and the 50s, then finally there's Thanksgiving, and then really people just boom, they're taking a day off, and then it becomes, you know, this holiday where I don't know, was it a mandatory day off, or it just depended on what you did for a living back then?
No, after, really, it took a long time after Abraham Lincoln's declaration. There was no consistency, and it remained regional. The South had a hard time coming along. You know, Andrew Johnson, who was Lincoln's successor, he declared Thanksgiving Day to be in December. He set a date in December. He was followed by President Grant, who put it back in November. And he put it in on the last day of November, Grant did, and that kind of stuck. So we had some consistency from Grant up to Franklin Roosevelt. But it was not until the early 1900s that the southern states really started paying attention to it. And by the 1930s, it was observed nationally, but it still was inconsistent. Some states would have their own date picked out, or maybe something different than the Thanksgiving we know today. Actually, the commercialization of it that you're mentioning, that really sort of helped get us a unified national holiday that we observe today.
So in the beginning it was good, because that's what got the ball rolling, in other words.
Right. That's right. You know, Christmas shopping was back in those days, during the Depression, that's where the trend started, that like the day after Thanksgiving you go out and start shopping for Christmas. And so the retail, it just so happened in 1939, which was still part of the Depression years, it so happened that the last day of Thanksgiving, the last day of November was a fifth Thursday. And so there was going to be a much shorter period of time, be a 1 week shorter period of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so it'd be less, fewer days to shop. And so the retailers, with some effective lobbyists, lobbied Franklin Roosevelt to move it back up 1 week from November 30th to November 23rd. And they did a good job. He did that. He did a proclamation changing after 70 years of having the last Thursday to be Thanksgiving. Roosevelt moved it up. But that caused, the reason that was a catalyst is it caused a lot of controversy. Some states did it on the had Thanksgiving on the 30th. Some states did what Franklin Roosevelt had declared and used the 23rd. Two states, Colorado and Texas, they did it. They had two Thanksgivings. They did it on the 23rd, and they did it again the next weekend. So not a bad idea, but it spurred discussion, and in 1941, Congress finally passed a law declaring the fourth Thursday in November as a national holiday of Thanksgiving.
And I might point out,
especially since my home state is Texas, I'd point out that Texas did not comply with that until 1956.
Of course.
So it really took until, since 1956, we have had a unified national holiday of Thanksgiving.
What about the turkey? The turkey, you know, the whole lore goes back to Pilgrim days, and then fast forward all the things we just talked about with the actual Thanksgiving. Was it right from the beginning about the turkey? You had the turkey and the mashed potatoes and stuffing and all of that?
I don't think so. There's not much documentation that the Thanksgiving feast at Plymouth, in Plymouth, Massachusetts, really took place, although it may have, probably it did occur, but it really is a story passed down, and there are a few letters that are written that mention that Thanksgiving at Plymouth. And it's not really a unique holiday to the United States. The religions all over the world have days of Thanksgiving, or they have harvest celebrations. Some of them fast, some of them feast. There are other nations today, Canada, Japan, and others that have some type of celebration in the autumn, usually having to do with harvest time. Sarah Hale, she got into the talking about food. She, in her letters to the presidents, she would talk about pumpkin pie and the autumn air and the great weather in the fall. And she did mention in one of her letters, stuffed turkeys. I don't know. Maybe that's how it got started.
Yeah, I don't really know. Maybe that's what happened. Clint Hackney, we're out of time. Thanks so much. Great history lesson on the origins of Thanksgiving. We'll have to have you back on again. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.